What up, guys? Nick here. What's going on? How is your day going? How's your Friday going? Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Freedom Fridays. What's going on, man? It's good. It's so good to see another week. It's been an amazing ride this week for me. I won't get into everything, but I just thank God so much for being able to say that I've made it to another week. So I thank God so much for His grace and for His mercy. Before I go any further, as we always open up the show, today is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right. So, guys, when you come in, please let me know where you are watching from, where you're tuning in from. In the comments, please let me know. I love the interaction. I love to talk with you guys. Love to see where you guys are tuning in from. It helps me grow. It helps me know where my audience is tuning in from, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Anchor. If you're not already been up on things, the Freedom Friday is also on Anchor FM. So that's the podcast. So if you are listening on Anchor right now, I want to tell you how much of an honor it is that you continue to listen. And for those of you watching on other platforms, don't feel left out. I love you guys too. I love you guys so much, all of you, for tuning in, whether you're tuning in there or you're tuning in on another platform. So as always, you guys know that you can catch the live show on Facebook.com, or you can catch the replay on YouTube. The video will be up on YouTube, as well as the podcast will be up later on today for today's episode, and the other episodes are on there too. before I get too deep into it, into my topic today, I want to just let everybody know, like week before last, got a little political, but and politics is something that I follow, and I think that my generation and younger, they are more into following politics and things like that. Usually, like I said in that show the week before last, usually don't dive that far into it, but it was necessary for me to do that. I felt led to do that, so if you did enjoy it, I'm glad to hear that, but if that's not what you were expecting, I do want to just let you know that it's not always like that. We know on Freedom Fridays, it's always been, for the last 4 years, Freedom Friday has always been about, you know, freedom, all aspects of freedom, physical, spiritual, emotional, social, things like that. You know, all aspects of freedom, especially, you know, spiritual, you know, having a relationship with God. You know, that's very important to me. You know, I do my best to put God first in everything I do. So that, above all else, is something that I always do my endeavor best to convey when I'm doing, you know, Freedom Fridays, because that's what it's all about. So today, however, in today's show, I wanted to talk about this particular topic. And if you read the description, you'll see it's a term that most people nowadays are familiar with, living my best life. There's a lot of things I could cover in that, but what I really want to focus on is the mythology behind that phrase. And, you know, I wanted to also stretch on, you know, is it possible to live your best life and still live for God? Because it's an important fact. It's an important fact to talk about, because I know, you know, a lot of you, you know, that you may have different beliefs or whatever it is, whatever religion you are. It really is irrelevant what you believe. And I'm not trying to say that in a cocky kind of way, but I'm just saying that in a loving kind of way. It doesn't matter what you believe. You guys know what I believe. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, I believe in Christianity. You know, I believe in relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe in relationship with God, intimately, relationship with God. So, if you don't believe that, I still love you. I want everybody to get that clear. I love you with the love of the Lord. That won't change. But I need people to hear me when I say this. You know, living your best life, like I said, it could take on many different things. But living a life for God, in my opinion, my personal relationship, because I can only speak for me personally and my own personal relationship with God, there is no way for me to live my best life, without a relationship with God. And I'll get to that in a minute, why I say that in a minute. But people equate and they associate living their best life with doing the things they want to do. Doing, you know, going to places they want to go, hanging out with whoever you want to hang out with, living it up, going out there, having fun and partying and doing all that. Like, at least from my standpoint, looking at the culture, not looking down at the culture, just looking at the world I live in, I understand the term living my best life to be, you know, having the money you want to have, going out there and living it up, partying, traveling, just hanging out, doing whatever that means to you, you know. But those are the common things that the term living my best life is associated with. And the problem that I have with that box of a mindset is that people think it's freeing just to have the money, have the clothes, have the cars, have the possessions, have everything, and, you know, just you know, 100 miles an hour, just partying and everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? The problem I have with that is that you're not really living your best life. And I'll tell you why. Having things, being able to go places, being able to hang out with different people, hang out with, you know, have notoriety and things like that, that's all well and good. But when you don't have the right motivations behind that, it could get real old real fast. Let me give you an example. Famous people, wealthy people. One of the examples that's coming to mind right now is one of my favorite comedians, Robin Williams, and others like him. Why is it that a man that spent his career bringing joy and laughter to millions of people around the world, everybody that I know, and that people that know them know, they've seen his movies. If you see movies like Mrs. Doubtfire, you've seen, what was it? Not Big. It's another movie where he plays a character that basically ages a lot, but he by the time he was, I guess, 18 and graduating high school, he was very old. I don't remember the movie. If you remember the movie, I'll put it in the comments and let me know, because I can't remember the name of the movie. But those are two of my favorite of his career. And he spent his life, you know, and more recently, you know, they made an Aladdin remake, and everybody knows that Robin Williams was famously the voice of Genie in Aladdin. So that was probably one of his more iconic roles. But why? And then you look at men like David Carradine, you look at Heath Ledger, you know, all of these people, those just those three examples and people in that vein, you would look at them and see, you know, most and think like, you know, they're living their best life, they have the money, they have the possessions, they have everything they could ever want, and still they end up in a deep, deep dark depression, and they just spiral downward into it, and then, you know, unfortunately, we lose them to that depression, you know. So the term as it's used today, living my best life, is not exactly what the definition should be. And, you know, the thing that most people of their lives, when they lack, you look at those particular cases that we lose people way too soon because of depression and things like that, is because of fulfillment. You know, being satisfied with what, with the inertia of your life, what's happening in your life, what you've achieved in life, what you've done, your body of work, your life's work, whatever it is, it's all about overall fulfillment. That's what gives money, gives possessions, gives the quote unquote living your best life mindset. That is what's missing from that particular mindset, is the meaningful fulfillment that everybody's looking for. And honestly, me personally, I don't think you can truly have that without God, because everything that he made for us, everything that he made that, you know, can give us convenience, can give us enjoyment and things like that, he also insists that we have a relationship with him. If you think back to the account in the Bible of Adam and Eve, God basically provided the Garden of Eden. And Eden, if you look up the meaning of the word Eden, it talks about connotations of a beauty, a lushness, but also paradise. That it's a place where you have very little need for anything else. That's what the term Eden, or the word Eden, is associated with. So God created Eden and provided for Adam and provided for Eve. But still, he walked with Adam. It says in the Bible, he walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and they walked and they talked and things like that. What does that suggest? That even with everything, that God gave them, everything that God provided to them, made available to them, they still were advised and just basically, you know, encouraged to maintain that intimate relationship with their Creator. And, you know, with that kind of cohesion between having the physical things that you need and that you want, you have that spiritual, meaningful relationship with him, so that you are constantly being renewed and refreshed every single day. You know, he walked with him, talked with him, you know, shared with him and things like that. Because, you know, it's a part, it's a necessary part of being fulfilled, is connecting with God and connecting with everything that he has in store, not just for you physically, but for your life, for your heart, for your mind, everything. Because that's the only way that you can truly get fulfillment, is when you connect with your purpose. And I talk a lot about purpose on this show. I talk a lot about finding your calling, finding your purpose, finding what you're here to do on this show. But more at the root of that is that relationship. And people have this ideology or this way of thinking that having an intimate relationship, a committed relationship to God, is not living your best life. I don't understand why, because, you know, I can't say that life has been perfect for me. I can't say I've had unimaginable wealth available to me every day, and, you know, just having millions of dollars. I can't say that yet. But I also can't say that my life has not been without ups and downs, which nobody can say that. Regardless to how much money you have, regardless to how much possessions you have, you will have ups and downs. But the difference is, the major difference between, you know, me having ups and downs and everybody else that doesn't have a relationship with God has, is that assurance that life is being guided with a purpose. And a lot of what we assume about having a relationship with God versus doing the things you want to do, doing the things you love to do, living a happy life, is very skewed and is very much misguided, because we're taught in society that having every physical thing you could ever want is living your best life. You know, that's what we're taught in society. Having the money, having the cars, having the ability to go out every day, to have surf and turf for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, to be able to live life the way you see fit, that is living your best life. But I'm sorry, guys. I've been struggling with allergies and stuff like that, but so forgive me. But to understand this is to know that God doesn't want you. He's not a stick in the mud. He really isn't. But what has to happen is that you and God have to get on the same page. And the only way you do that is by having a relationship with Him and having your heart, having your mind, having your body align with the things that He wants for you, aligned with His will. So it's not just enough to say, you know, I know of God, I know who He is, I know what He does, I know how powerful He is, I know what he's capable of. But just like any relationship, how do you expect to get the benefits of being in a relationship with somebody without actually being in a relationship with somebody? If you know, there's a profound difference between, yeah, I know who Nick is, and I know what he does. Yeah, I know he's a motivational speaker. I know he's in marketing. I know he's in sales. Something he does. And he's a nice guy or whatever it is. He's a great mentor. Yeah, you know about me, but having a relationship with me, see, people that I'm acquainted with, people that I'm friends with, they know me on different levels. You watching that may not have seen too much of me, may not know too much about me. You know of me. People that are my friends, they've been around my life for a long time, you know, things like that. They know a little bit of who I am. But the way my wife knows me, nothing sexual, the way my wife knows me is a lot more intimate in terms of emotional relationship to the way everyone else knows me. What's up, Jason? How you doing, man? Thanks for joining in. I'm doing good, man. We're talking about living our best life today versus living for God. So knowing who I am doesn't make you, you know, doesn't assure you that you have a relationship with me. If we talk on a daily basis, if we share different ideas, we share our opinions, and we talk about, you know, family or whatever it is, if we go back and forth about the things that are important to us and the things that are meaningful to us, then we begin to establish a relationship. And if we spend time, like we go hang out somewhere, we go to the movies, or you come to my house, or I go to your house, or whatever it is, we start to build that relationship because we spend time together. And, you know, spending time with someone, you begin to know their expectations. So let's say, okay, like I have friends that they love to go out and drink. Like they go out and pop bottles or whatever it is, and you know, they get down with their alcohol, whatever. I'm just not on that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't fault anybody for being, you know, you go out and you have a drink. Okay, that's you. You know what I'm saying? You do you. You live the life that you are compelled to live. However, if you are a part of my inner circle, there's a good chance you don't go out and get drunk. Why? Because I don't go out and get drunk. And it's not because I'm imposing my will on you. It's because you know the type of person I am. You know that I don't go out drinking, so there's a good chance that you don't go out drinking, because if you're in my inner circle, you might have a drink every now and again, but you're not a go out and get wasted kind of person anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because you're committed to your ideals, but because we have that in common, then that says that we're going along the same path. Remember I mentioned about God and Adam walking together in the cool of the day? That is the same thing in a relationship, is that you become the people that you closely associate with. So we are not going to be at the bar getting wasted, because that's not who we are, both of us, because you're in my inner circle, I'm in your inner circle. So because we have that in common, that's what brings that closer. And when we talk about the will, is that if I would like to see, let's say, okay, I got a bunch of single friends, and I would like to see them get married. You know, I would love, because I know how, you know, I know it's not perfect, but I would like to see my friends get married. I'd like to see them have kids. I'd like to see them find the happiness in marriage and in family that I have found. I want them to be happy in general. So does it mean that I won't associate with them because, excuse me, they don't have a wife, or they don't have a husband, or they don't have kids? No. I still will hang out, I still will associate, I still will have fun, I still will, you know, have crazy love for them, but, you know, I want them to find that happiness. But how will that start to happen is because they see the value in having family, having a spouse, or being married, I should say. You know, being married and having kids and all that, when they see by watching what that looks like, and I'm being very careful of not to say looking at my marriage, because my marriage isn't perfect. I'll be the first to tell you, and my wife will attest to the same thing, but we love each other. But after God, it's knowing that we try to live out according to His leadership for our marriage and for our lives, that having that example for our inner circle, our single friends are going to eventually be like, you know what, Nick, you guys have been married for a good little bit now. It's really, really nice to see that. Maybe I could find that. They start to believe that they could find that for themselves. What does that all mean? It means that my desire for my single friends, because they've been in my inner circle, in my, you know, having a relationship with me, that desire for them translates into the influence of my quote-unquote will, in desiring to see them happy and to see them married and to see them have kids, that they look at that and they say, wow, you know, I want what, not necessarily what I have, but I want to find that. Whatever it is that they see in my marriage, they see in my family, they see in my kids or whatever, it's like baby fever. Like, wherever, I'd say, so wherever my kids go now, they start baby fever everywhere. Because I remember taking my daughter when she was really young. I took my daughter to an urgent care. She had gotten a double ear infection. And I took her to the urgent care. And the ladies there was like, oh, she is so cute. And they just wanted to have babies. Like, I felt so bad for their boyfriends and husbands. I was like, yeah, they're going to get attacked. You know, because they're going to want to go and talk to them about, you know, about having another baby or having a baby or whatever it is, because they've seen my daughter and stuff like that, because they love kids. They think kids are cute. They want a cute kid, so they want a kid of their own. So it's kind of like that, where you see something that you really admire, that you really hope one day that you can have for yourself, that eventually, by spending time, you also get that desire. And it's the same thing with your relationship with God. It's the same thing that happens. The more time that you spend with Him, the more time you read His Word, the more time you sit in His presence and talk to Him and listen for His voice, listen for His leading, listen for His direction, the more that His will becomes your will. Like in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was like, God, can you please let this cup pass from me? But He said, nevertheless, or regardless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the establishment of the intimacy and the relationship that you have with God, because it becomes less about your happiness and more about His glory. And okay, let me be clear here. When I say less about your happiness, we're not talking about you living this downtrodden, sad life, and you don't get nothing, and you just always have to live depressed, always have to live sad. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about having not just happiness, but having joy. Think about, okay, let me see if I can put it this way. Think about this. Being in a relationship, because we're talking about relationships, being in a relationship and loving someone so much that you want to make them happy. You want to bring joy to them. Husbands, fellas, why is it that when it's date night, you will ask her what movie she wants to see or what movie she wants to watch on Netflix? If y'all Netflixing and vibing, not chilling. Y'all don't get that reference tied up. I'm talking about enjoying each other's company. Just so if anybody wants to be unclear, you will ask her what she wants to watch. What do you feel like watching? Or you go out to dinner. Hey, I was thinking we do sushi, or I was thinking we do curry, or I was thinking we do Vietnamese or whatever it is. But what do you like? What, in other words, what would bring a smile? What would bring joy to your heart? Why? Because you love her. You don't want to go out and see no chick flick. You don't want to watch people cry for the next 2 hours because everything is so beautiful. I mean, we have our moments. I'll just be honest. I'll have my moments. You know what I'm saying? Because it just be getting you right here, man. But most guys, they're not going to be like, they're not going to sign up. Okay, let me choose to watch a chick flick. If you do, I still love you. It's okay. You're still a man. It's okay. I'm not gonna be mad at you. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going to go out there and choose in front of everybody to go watch a chick flick because it's just what you want to do. Most of the times you want to watch a movie that has something that blows up or has some a fight scene or something, a race or something. You know, you want to see something that gets you excited. Like, you know, like I mentioned, the races, the gunfights, the blowing up and all. You want to watch a guy movie. You know what I'm saying? Put a one in the comments for guy movies. What's your favorite guy movie? You know what I'm saying? My favorite guy movie is Gone in 60 Seconds. I love that movie. I love The Matrix. I love those. I love action. But why do you choose to watch The Notebook? Why do you choose to watch, oh, I don't know, The Devil Wears Prada? Really good movie. Not like it sounds. Please don't take it that way. You know what I'm saying? Why do you watch those movies that she wants to watch? If she's not into action, if she's not into suspense, if she's not into sci-fi, why do you choose to watch what she wants to watch? Why do you choose to eat what she wants to eat? Because you love her. Because you want her to be happy. You want her to smile. Because you want her, at the end of the day, to be like, wow, I had an awesome time with you, and I enjoy being with you. And you just live. If you're really in love with someone, and y'all can attest to this, if you've ever been here, put it too in the comments, where you care about someone so much, it don't even matter what you decide to do. I don't care. It don't matter. It's your world. Let's do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? You will put yourself, being truly in love with someone is finally deciding to put their happiness ahead of yours. And what that translates to in having a relationship with God is that his ultimate happiness is his ultimate glory. And when I say glory, I mean glory as in he is ultimately pleased and he gets the credit in being ultimately pleased by your actions or by your words. And more importantly than actions and words, but he gets pleased ultimately by the condition of your heart. So that's what means the most to him. So that's what his ultimate glory means. That he's ultimately pleased with the condition of your heart that translates to your words and to your actions. Because it's not just about doing what you want to do. Yeah, you want to go out and hang out with your friends and stuff like that. You want to go out and, you know, you don't have to go out and do all the usual stuff people, you know, out there do when they hang out. But you just want to go chill. You want to go play some pool. You want to do whatever with your friends. But you choose to say, you know what, I'm going to take that hour, that 2 hours, just to, you know, sit down, put some headphones on, listen to the word, or listen to some worship music, because I want to get my heart right to get into his presence and to see what he has to say in his word and to see what he has planned for me today. Let me get in his presence and get to know him a little better and get a little closer to him so I can see what he has planned. And ultimately, his will becomes your will, because you have built that intimacy, you have built that love, you have built that adoration towards him, that you want his ultimate glory over your happiness. And I want to say this, like, we have to understand that God, this life is a lot less about our overall, not overall, but our immediate happiness, and more about his glory. And when I say, happiness, I want you guys to understand something. There is a profound difference between being happy and having joy. Let me tell you why. Because having happiness, being happy, is temporary at best. Being happy is just, it's a great day. It's awesome. I'm doing all these wonderful things. It's just exciting and things like that. You know, having a great day, that's happiness. Nothing wrong with happiness, but it's temporary. Joy, however, is lasting. When you have joy in your life, joy is the longer game where you'll be happy at times, but even if something else happens, let's say you have a bad day at work, your boss keeps getting on your nerves, your kids don't want to act right, that upsets you. But regardless of something upsetting you, you still say, you know what? It is a beautiful day outside. God has given me air in my lungs. He has kept me in my right mind. He has given me full use of my body. I don't feel sick. I don't feel, you know, it's just an overall great day. That is joy. That's having joy, where you feel contented. You feel joy. You feel more than just that happiness, but you are thankful to God for every good thing, even though you are not having a good day. Joy is that exuberance and that excitement in spite of an event that happens that does not feel good to you. So when I say happiness, life is not about happiness. Life is not about your temporary happiness. Life is about giving God glory and having joy in that, in the fact that it's about his will for your life and not about what you immediately want to do. And we have to understand something, just as, and especially for us parents out there, we want our kids to have joy. We want our kids to be happy. We want the best for our children. But do we give them everything they want? All the time when they ask it, they want candy at midnight, do you always give it to them? No, because a good parent knows that if you love your child, you have to say no at times. A good parent knows that it's not about giving, it's not about their immediate happiness. They might be sad because they can't have candy at midnight right before bed, because they gonna be turning up, bouncing off the walls while you trying to sleep. You know that is not the best thing for them. Think about when they go to a friend's party and they have all this candy and so that they bring home. Do you want them to be eating all that candy all at once? No. They want the candy all at once because they know that they're going to be happy and they're going to enjoy it and they're going to be too tickled because they're eating all this candy. But you can see the pain that'll follow. You can see the stomach ache that'll follow. You can see the nausea that'll follow because they ate way too much candy all at once. But because you want them, it doesn't change the fact that you want them to be overall be happy and have joy in their lives. You want them to have a great childhood. You want them to grow up and have pleasant experiences and have overall happiness in their life. But you know that there will be times when they don't have, that they're not happy, where it doesn't feel good to them. And as much as you know that, there will be times where they don't feel as happy in the moment, you know that you want the best for them. So instead of giving them that candy at midnight, that candy right before bed, you're going to tell them they can drink some water, they can have some apple juice, or they can have a little sandwich or something if they're still hungry. If that's the case, and they are properly fed, properly had their thirst quenched, and you go into your bed because it's the best thing for them. You can see further than they can. You are aware of things that they are yet not aware of. It's the same thing with the Heavenly Father. It's the same thing with God. He has infinite perspective. Regardless of the decision you make, do you realize that He, being the Creator, He knows everything? And not just knows everything in a traditional sense, but He knows the outcome. The outcome, the millions of possible outcomes. He knows those and has an active role in all of those. It's called sovereignty. When His will is done, regardless of the choice that you are afforded. So knowing, but the key is knowing which choice to make, at what time to make it. Now, like, okay, give you a real life example. Me going to the convenience store, going to 7-Eleven today just to get, you know, some breakfast or whatever it is, and, you know, just regular routine, going to get some coffee, going to get whatever, and just going to say hi to a friend. I make that choice, but I didn't go right away to when I usually do. I took a little extra time to send out my first post on Facebook, because that's my routine. I do a morning post or whatever it is before I go throughout my day and stuff like that, after my devotions and stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do, but I delayed a little bit by choice. And went a little later to go get coffee, go get whatever, and say hi to my friend and at the store. But in doing so, I was able to run into a former neighbor that she had been praying to God for understanding about a situation that she's been going through, and she's desperately seeking a solution. So, but because I chose to go to the 7-Eleven at the particular time, later than I usually would, we were able to meet up. And not just able to meet up, but able to, even in a conversation, when I said good morning to her, I asked her how her day was. She said, it's Friday. And I said, isn't Friday usually the day where people look forward to being a happy day because they're about to get off work and they're about to have 2 days off? Isn't that usually the case? Yeah, it's usually the case, but, you know, it's not that way today. And I told her simply, by choice, again, making a choice, you know, every day that you're above ground is a good day. You know, and we get the constant affirmation of, you know, it's going to be a great day, you're alive, so thank God for being alive. You know, but in choosing to let the Holy Spirit lead me into saying that, went into His will being done, which was us having a conversation about life, about what God wanted to tell her, and He used me to give her the word for her that He had, that she had been praying for. But if I wasn't spending time with Him, and if I wasn't making a conscious decision to get into that communion with Him, and trying to figure out what he wants me to do in the moment and spending time, I would have just went about my business. Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. That's good. You know, have a good weekend. And she wouldn't have gotten it. But because God is sovereign, he knows all the outcomes, and his will was done regardless of when I decided to do what I decided to do or how I decided to do it, because I connected with him on an intimate level, so he was able to lead me into making a decision that would not just benefit me, but benefit someone else. It's also a little clue into getting certain blessings. See, God doesn't just want to bless you for you. See, we pray all the time, you know, God, bless me with this, bless me with that, bless me with this, bless my family with that. It's not just about getting a blessing to you personally, but it's about getting a blessing through you, that God can use you as a vessel to be a blessing unto others. And it goes back to another saying that I'm familiar with that I use all the time, that says, if you help other people get what they want, you will get what you want. And it's the same thing with your overall life. If you do and follow the leading of God, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, he will get you, he will lead you to doing his will, which in turn will get you the things that you want and need in your life. The Bible also says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't you think for one second that he doesn't want the best for you? He is a good father. Like I said in another show, he is a good father. There's no good thing that he will withhold from you. There's no good thing that he will withhold from you. But if he knows it's going to cause you to fall away, or it's going to cause you harm, he is not going to give it to you. Because a good parent knows it's not just about, like I said earlier, it's not just about your immediate happiness, but it's about your overall growth and development and the overall joy that you will have in your life, and you want the best for your child. It's the same thing with him. Is that he will give you things because it will serve you better if you are in the right place to receive it. And when I'm not just talking about cardinal location, I'm talking about being emotionally ready, being physically ready, being mentally ready to be able to receive something. See, a lot of times that's why we don't have things when we have them. Think about when you got married. There was one point in life where you did not want to be married. Let's be honest. At least not, let not just men be honest in this conversation. There's a time that you didn't want to be married. Ladies, you wasn't trying to be tied down. You wasn't trying to have no man and be married to no man, something like that. You wanted to be by yourself. You wanted to be free, so to speak. You wanted to have, you know, to be able to make the decisions you want to make and you need to make without having to have to be in check with someone else. You know what I'm saying? You wanted your own. But that changed. You eventually wanted to be married. You eventually desired that connection. You eventually wanted that in your life. And it was only until you were ready for that, that it happened. And so whether you think about it just as, okay, I made up my mind and I was ready for it, but are you truly ready for it? That's when anything is truly a blessing to you. Is when you are ready to receive it, you are prepared to receive it. That way, the maturity level is there. The preparation that it took for you to be in the right place to get there, to get that blessing, is in place. See, it's not just about being, and this is another thing, it's not just about, you know, being at the right place at the right time. You have to be the right person. Being the right person in the right place at the right time is essential. It's so essential. Not just to find success, but to find fulfillment. Because of the fact, and how do you get to being the right person? By having the right leadership. By having the right mentoring. Yes, you want to have physical mentors. Yes, you want to have physical people that you rely on that keep you accountable and things like that. But you also want to have that guiding star to help you see and to make decisions to get you into the best place or to get you to the best destination that you could possibly be. And what better way to get that guidance with someone who has infinite perspective? So let me ask you this. This is literally what it's like. If you want somebody to teach you how to climb a mountain, and you've never climbed a mountain before, you have the ability to climb the mountain, but you've never climbed a mountain before, do you not want somebody that can tell you what is the correct things to do, how to put your hands in the grooves, what time to put the sand or the chalk or whatever it is you have to dust your hands with to put your hands in the grooves so you can safely climb that mountain, and to tell you, okay, avoid this, don't do that, do this, do that? Why? Because they have a higher perspective than, let's say, somebody who's done it maybe once before you, and they're trying to tell you what to do, but they can't really tell you because they don't know the do's and the don'ts that a veteran would know. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. They don't have the perspective. It's about having that infinite perspective, and there's only one person that has infinite perspective. There's only one being that has infinite perspective, and I would rather any day to have guidance from the Holy Spirit, from God, who has infinite perspective, than a man or woman that has finite perspective. There's things that you and I don't know. There's things you and I can't see. There's things you and I can't anticipate. And having that, you would not be able to properly make a decision that would be for the best good because of your finite perspective. So how can it be your best life if the decisions that you make are based on flawed perspective or finite perspective? You can only make great decisions if you have the highest and the most broad perspective that you can. And the only way to achieve that is in God. The only way to have infinite access to infinite perspective is to have a intimate, close relationship with God. It's the only way. Any other way would not work, because any man, any woman on this earth is flawed. Any man, any woman on the earth, you can get, listen, as much as your parents love you, as much as they care about your life and you having the best life that you could possibly have, they only have a finite perspective. And having a finite perspective that's even more clouded by the judgment, that's more clouded by, you know, their opinions about you, their opinions about your decision, their opinions about your capability to do something, inhibits their ability to give you the best advice. a lot of times, and a lot, man, I hate to pick on my people, but my Caribbean people, a lot of times our parents, they give us advice based on what they've done. If they haven't done it, there's a great chance that if they personally haven't done it, or personally haven't seen it done close enough to them, that if you come to them saying, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, I'm seriously considering doing that, they're going to tell you don't do it. Why? Because they don't have the perspective. And I'm not just talking about in the church, I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about on both sides. Whether you're talking about secular, you're talking about in the church. Our parents have only been able to guide us a lot of times. I shouldn't say a lot of times. That's not fair. More often than not, I've been guilty of doing it myself. I'm a parent. I'm a father. I've made decisions to guide my daughter sometimes in my own perspective. And the trouble with that is that it's not infinite perspective. It's not taking things that I could never possibly know into an account. So that's why when we are telling our kids to, hey, you know, they tell you, okay, daddy, hey, mommy, I want to become a pianist. I want to become a comedian. I want to become a doctor. I want to become a lawyer. I want to become whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is. That we relate to our children based on what we've seen done or we think we're able to do. We as parents, a lot of times we project our insecurities and our failures onto our children. So because we haven't done it, we influence our kids the other way. There's nobody in the family that's ever started a business. There's nobody in the family that's ever become a doctor, ever become a lawyer, ever finished high school, ever finished college. We don't have the money. We don't have the this. We don't have the that. Nobody's ever done it. So what? Having infinite perspective also means that God knows that he knows the way that it can be done. But also knowing that there's nothing impossible with him. And he will tell you, regardless of what you believe, as long as you believe in him, as long as you trust in him to direct your path, you can accomplish that. See, in every human being, he put purpose in them. Every human being, he put in them purpose. But you will never realize that purpose. You will never find true fulfillment. You would never live your best life unless you start with him. The infinite perspective. It's the only way it can be done. By having the infinite perspective of God, so you can make the necessary decisions at the time and place you need to make them to be able to get to your best life. Now, I'm going to close with this. I'm not saying that your life is going to be perfect. I'm not saying that things aren't going to go wrong. I'm not saying that things are not going to go sideways sometimes. But the thing about having an intimate relationship with God is he can get you out. And if he don't get you out, it's to make you better. Either way you take it, being in the hands and in the leadership of God is the best place you can be. There is no better place. I'm sorry to tell you, but if you thought that there was a better place, there's a better path to living your best life, it's not in anything else but God. Because making decisions in a finite perspective will get you in jams and in scrapes more often than you would even realize. But committing to a relationship with him, deciding that I'm going to give this a shot, is going to be the first step to you understanding that you can live your best life, but it's living the life that he has planned for you. the Almighty, All-Loving Father. That's the life that He plans for you. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you know, quote-unquote, clean. Because you hear all the time, I clean my life up, you know, in a few years or so. You know what I'm saying? Just give me some time. I need to get right first before I come to God. I need to get my life right before I come serve Him. And I'm going to do this for real. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to go I need to take a shower, but before I take a shower, let me clean up first. No, you got to go to the bathroom. You got to go to the you got to go to the shower to get a shower. That's what the shower is there for. You go to the shower to get a shower so you can get clean. It's just like that with having an intimate relationship with God. If you want that, you got to start there. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It just means that you have to mean it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will have a relationship with Him. You just have to want it. And wanting it and taking action to say, hey, I'm not perfect. I messed up. My life is jacked up. But I'm going to start here and say, you know what? Even though I'm not perfect, I'm putting my life into your hands. And I'm submitting myself to you. I believe that Jesus Christ came and He died for me. And that He rose again in fulfillment and perfection of His will. So that He can come into my life and make my life the best that He needs it to be. And the thing about His best life for you, it can't get no better than that. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. I hope you guys have found something in here that ministered to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit has used something I've said to minister to you today and draw you closer to Him and to getting to that point where you are living the best life that He has planned for you. I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Mother's Day is this Sunday. To my mother, I love you. I don't know what my life would be like without you. I'm blessed that God chose you to be my mother. And I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart and from the depths of my soul, I love you. And I pray that God continues to give you long life, good health, and strength, and just wonderful things. Wonderful things, because you deserve it. To my mother and to all the mothers out there, I pray that prayer. And that you guys enjoy not just your day on Sunday, but every day, whether you have kids of your own that you birthed yourself or you have spiritual children. And to all my spiritual mothers out there, I love y'all. I miss you so much. And I want you to know that I love you. I love you with all my heart, just as much as I love my own physical mother. To all my spiritual mothers out there, this one also goes out to you. All right. So if you want more content, please go to if you want to catch more content, you have the links in the description here that you can go to. You can go on my fan page if you're on Facebook, Mr. Millionaire Insight. It's usually my handle for most platforms. The only one that changes is my YouTube, which is Millionaire Insight, the number 4 in the word life. So Millionaire Insight for Life on YouTube.com, Mr. M Insight on Twitter, and Mr. Millionaire Insight on IG. Please go support. If you do want to support my content, you can share this video on Facebook or on YouTube, and you can also monetarily support my content through the podcast on Anchor. If you want to pledge something, you want to do a one-time gift, it could be of any size. It definitely goes forward to helping me keep bringing you good content. Helps with equipment costs and things like that. You know, definitely it is a great help to keep bringing these videos and these bits of content to you guys. So if you love my content, if you're blessed by my content, please consider giving a one-time gift or supporting through Anchor, or you can go to my Patreon at Millionaire Insight to also support my content. So, guys, I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful weekend and an awesome week to come. I pray that God expands your borders. I pray that He continues to keep you and to bless you. If you have committed to say you want to start a relationship with God, just pray and ask Him. Say, I've fallen short, but I believe in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ had made on the cross, and I believe that He lives today interceding for me forevermore at your side. And if you have done that, get to a Bible-based church and to, you know, get the discipleship, get the knowledge, get the message, and get the training and learn how to foster that intimate relationship with Him so you can get to live your best life. All right? Until next time, guys, live life, love God. See you when I see you. Peace.